Food writer Ruth Reichel has made a name for herself with her vivid descriptions of food, family, and what it means to eat well. A former restaurant critic for the Los Angeles Times and New York Times and editor-in-chief of Gourmet magazine, she turned to fiction for the first time after that magazine folded. Until then, she was known for her best-selling memoirs centered around food. Reichel is in Madison today for an event at the Wisconsin Book Festival. She's giving a free talk about her first novel called Delicious. That's at 7:30 at Madison Central Library. Veronica Rickert caught up with her late last week.
Ruth, welcome to Central Time.
It's great to be here.
Well, I've read that you said you wanted to write fiction to kind of find a way out of your depression after Gourmet magazine went under. Why did you think that the combination of fiction and food was the right thing to do the trick?
Well, fiction is, you know, it's always been kind of my drug of choice. When I'm really depressed, what I do is read fiction. And I had the mistaken impression that writing fiction would be kind of like reading it, which it is not at all. And, you know, food is really, I see the world food first. So I think kind of whatever I do, food is a big part of it.
Well, obviously, you've been a writer for a long time. You've got a lot of memoirs under your belt, bestsellers. How was writing fiction different from that for you?
Well, you know, when I started writing, my editor, everyone I knew said, oh, this will be really easy for you because all of your nonfiction reads like fiction. And then my editor went on to say, and you, after all, have been wearing these disguises for a long time. So you've been living fiction, so just put it on the page. What I was not aware of is what a gift it is to the memoirist, to the nonfiction writer, to have your characters already fully formed. And I didn't know how much I needed to know about my characters before I started writing. So I essentially wrote a whole book, realized that what I had been doing was introducing myself to the characters, and that I needed to know that, but probably the audience didn't, threw that out, and then wrote the novel.
Well, Billy is the name of your main character in the novel Delicious, and she has kind of a complicated relationship with cooking, at least, and a little bit with food. She's made more alive by food, and it's the center of her self-worth, but it's also the center of a dark secret. How would you describe that relationship?
Well, she is phobic about cooking. She's talented, and, I mean, kind of almost supernaturally talented in her ability to take tastes apart and know what goes into something that she's eaten. And then she becomes very, very phobic about going into the kitchen. And as someone who suffered enormously from phobias, not that particular phobia, but I had a driving phobia, and I really understand that what phobias are is a way of avoiding the real problem. You create a fake problem to avoid dealing with what's really, really bothering you. And that's what she ultimately comes to realize.
Do you think that to a degree, a lot of us have complex relationships with food that we need to sort of heal so that we can get to the point in life where it's just pleasure?
I mean, I actually think that very few of us understand our own appetites, and that it's very liberating when you finally do. We use food for so many things that have nothing to do with hunger. And I feel like as someone who was a restaurant critic for a long time, the gift of that job is that you come to learn your own appetites and you realize when you've had enough. I mean, there's always another fabulous meal. And, you know, to avoid becoming a 6,000-pound monster, which would be very easy to do as a restaurant critic, you really start understanding when you're eating beyond what you really want to eat and that you're doing it for some other reason, and you stop.
Do you feel like you're at the point now, having had this long and nurtured relationship with food, where it is sort of a simple thing? You understand your appetites, you stop when you're full, and you can just enjoy it.
For the most part, yes. I mean, I love food. I'm very blessed with, I love cooking, and I find cooking extremely therapeutic. And I think I am beyond the point of, you know, mindlessly eating. I mean, I think one of the things about eating is to really train yourself to stop and pay attention to it so you really enjoy it.
Now, how much of the novel Delicious came from your experience at Gourmet magazine, particularly its closing?
Well, when I decided that I was going to write a novel, I knew that I wanted to create a character who was nothing like me, which is why I chose, you know, someone who was 21, who had a sister she was very close to, who was new to New York, all things that are not true about me. But I also knew that I needed to put her in a setting that I did know. And the natural place to put her was at a food magazine. And Delicious is very much like Gourmet. And I like to think that had a troubled Billy shown up at Gourmet, we would have embraced her as the staff at Delicious does.
And Billy gets her job with the signature gingerbread recipe. It wins the boss over. And there's a recipe for that actual gingerbread at the end of the book. Is this a recipe that's special to you in real life?
No, I mean, that was the one of the hardest parts of writing this book is, you know, it's very easy to imagine and describe a really fabulous food. And so I imagined the most fantastic gingerbread that I could possibly think of and described it, I hope, in very seductive terms. And then my editor said, well, we need to have the recipe for it. And I went, oh, wait a minute. I mean, I'm not sure I can actually make a cake that's that good. And so I made a recipe, and then I took it to somebody who's a professional recipe tester. And then when she was done, I took it to my favorite cook at Gourmet and said, you know, said to each of them, make this better. And so it really is a fabulous gingerbread. It's not like anything I've ever tasted. It's one that uses a lot of fresh spices and a lot of fresh ginger, which is not at all what most gingerbreads are like. And I think between us, we did manage to create a great recipe, but that was hard. That was really hard.
Yeah, it seems like it's got kind of a cult following now. People are talking about ripping it out of the back of the book and wanting to pass it on. It's got cardamom in it and fresh grated ginger. Do you think it's going to have a life beyond Delicious?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, really good recipes go off to have lives of their own, and I love to think about this cake out there, you know, sort of prancing around in the world. And it's been interesting. On book tour, we've done a lot of lunches and dinners. And so I have had, oh, at least 30 or 40 different versions of this cake made by different chefs. And it's been very interesting because everybody needs to put their own stamp on it. So I've had, you know, fancy French chefs do very fancy French things with it, and, you know, locavore kind of chefs do other things with it. It's been really interesting seeing what people have made of this recipe.
Well, I want to ask you about your online life right now, because you've kind of gotten a name for yourself on Twitter and the way that you write about food there. And it's almost, someone I think called it food haiku or food poetry. And here's one that I pulled up from recently. You wrote, radiant morning, grass emerald, sky sapphire, robins red, lilacs blooming everywhere, hot biscuits, apricot jam, happy to be home. It's beautiful. What appeals to you about immortalizing these tiny moments of life and food?
Well, I mean, I think that for me, you know, one of the messages of Delicious is pay attention to the ordinary. And I've sort of set myself out with Twitter. I love the discipline of the 140 characters, and I feel like I kind of found a new voice in it. But what I'm trying to do is celebrate a moment and make it as visual as possible. I mean, how do you put someone where you are in this very short amount of space? And it's been fun doing it, just sort of like sending off a moment of my day every day.
Yeah, and you said that you find joy in the ordinary, this moment. But also I read that it's something that you have to work at. Do you think that that's sort of your sweet spot for you, looking at food and the moment and the ordinary. And that's what you find most enriching about your life right now.
Well, it is. I mean, the thing is that it is easy to fall into despair. There is so much wrong in the world. There is always a war. There's climate change. I mean, people doing atrocious things to each other in some corner of the world. And I think that for me, the only way to counterbalance that, I mean, you don't want to forget those things. You want to be aware of what's going on in the world and do your best to stop it. And at the same time, it's really important to celebrate what's wonderful. And there is a lot that's wonderful in the world and wonderful about being alive. And, for me, that's how I do it. I mean, other people do it other ways, but I feel like, you know, there is a moment every day when you bite into a peach or smell fresh coffee being made, and they're small things, but they're things that can give you enormous pleasure, and it's important not to forget that.
Ruth, thanks so much for talking today.
It's been my pleasure.
That was food writer Ruth Reichel. Her new novel is called Delicious. She is here in Wisconsin speaking at the Madison Public Library tonight at 7:30.